It's very late at night, immediately after the close of our last episode, when in a conference room in City Jail, Ed Beekman reversed his stand and suddenly confessed he did kill Gordon Weber. Now Ed looks from Della Street to Perry Mason, then lowers his eyes, says,
"We're only wasting time, Mr. Mason. Call in the district attorney. Let's get it over with, huh?"
Ed, what makes you so positive your daughter killed Weber?
Don't say that, Mr. Mason. I killed Gordy.
I'll see what that is.
Ask the guard to tell the DA I want to get it over with, Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Can you step here just a minute? Paul Drake is calling you. He says it's urgent.
Oh, all right. Wait inside. Yes? Yes, Paul. Yes, tell me now. Yes, she told the truth. Yes, it helped a lot. Thank you. You let me back inside the car.
Look, Mr. Mason.
Ed, you sit there and listen. A short time ago, your daughter told me she was in Weber's apartment when he was killed. I didn't let her tell the police because her being with Gordy would give you a perfect motive for killing him. Now, I sent Kate to Della's apartment with instructions to repeat everything she saw and heard to Paul Drake. You know him.
Yeah, sure. Now, look, Mr. Mason.
You listen. Kate told me her story, but she told it fast. I hoped that she would remember additional details, and she did. Della gave Kate both keys to her apartment.
What?
You forgot to take a key off the key ring for yourself. So when Kate got to your place, Kate tried to take a key off the ring to send back to you. Paul had to use his pocket knife to loosen the key. And when Kate saw Paul's knife, it pulled the trigger.
The knife reminded me.
Come clean with me, Ed.
Mr. Mason, I trust you more than any man alive.
Then prove it.
I can't. There's things I can't tell anybody, not even Audrey.
Della.
Yes, Chief.
Would you wait outside in the car, please?
All right.
Mr. Mason.
Go ahead, Della. All right, now, Ed, there's nobody here but you and me. If I repeat anything you say, all you have to do is deny it, and that's that. Now, you're convinced that Kate killed Weber.
No, sir. I killed him.
Don't say that to me again, or it quits, and I mean it. Now, you're trying to take the rap for Katie. Why? It's a phony rap. Kate did not kill him.
I prayed it wasn't so, Mr. Mason. But it is. I won't try to kid you. I didn't kill Gordy.
Well, finally, we're getting someplace. Now, go
on. But that's as far as it goes, Mr. Mason. So help me. I'll swear on a stack of Bibles I did kill him, and I can make that stick.
Ed, why do you think I'm shoving you?
What?
I know good and well you could make it stick if I stood by and allowed you to. But I won't let you make a needless sacrifice.
I got the right to do what I can for Kate.
Well, make me see it or I'll block you.
You can't do it, Mr. Mason.
You think not? Maybe you're right. But you'll fight me every step of the way if you don't make me see it. Now, come on, Ed. Prove that you know what you're doing.
Okay, Mr. Mason. When I walked in Gordy's place, he was dead. From the looks of him, it just happened. In fact, I thought the killer might be trapped in the apartment, so I closed the front door, loud, like I was going out. But I stayed inside, ducked the coat closet. In a minute, I heard the bedroom door open. I couldn't see who it was at first. There's a little angle of the wall. Then I saw Katie. She was holding the knife in her hand. When she dropped the knife, she ran out. Well, now you know what I saw, Mr. Mason. What went on before I got there, I can't say, but I can guess. She probably had every right to kill him. I'm a man, so are you, Mr. Mason. You know what a mean, heartless guy can do to a kid. I understand why she did it. Maybe you could even get her off, but I won't have my daughter dragged through the mud. I'm going to take it for her because I got to. If I'd have been a good father, I'd have found out she was mixed up with Gordy a long time ago, but I didn't. And now I'm paying for it. I'm going to pay for it, Mr. Mason.
Have I ever lied to you, Ed?
No, sir.
It is true Kate worked in the nightclub that Gordy managed, but she rarely spoke to him. Your daughter never went out with Gordy. She never went to his place before the night he was killed.
Mr. Mason?
She went to see him that one time only because Weber claimed to have information to give her. Information about you. When she went to his place, he became fresh and she ran into the bedroom to get away from him. While she was in there, and just before you arrived, Gordy was stabbed. Kate heard him plead for mercy. She was terrified. She waited. She heard nothing. Then she opened the door. She did not remember she picked up the knife when she opened the bedroom door.
What?
Not until a moment ago when she saw Paul Drake use his knife on Della's keyring. Then Kate remembered another detail. When Kate opened the door, the first thing she saw was the knife. She picked it up, walked farther into the room, and saw Weber. When she did, she dropped the knife and ran. You didn't see her stoop and pick the knife up because of the wall angle. And you did not know that that was Kate's first visit to Gordy's place. So you assumed a previous relationship.
Now, you didn't think clearly yourself, Ed. But you did what a loving father would do when you tried to protect Katie.
Thank God.
Now, Ed.
Don't look at me, Mr. Mason. I can't help.
Yes, I understand that, Ed. But we are not out of the woods yet.
What? What, Mr. Mason?
For example, your fingerprints on the knife.
I can tell you about that now. I wiped Katie's fingerprints off the knife. I saw her holding it.
Yes, of course. But you can't tell the DA without implicating Katie.
That's right.
Now, Ed, the district attorney has a case against you. But there's a weak link in his chain of evidence. That's your motive. As long as App doesn't know Kate went to see Gordy, he has no motive for you except the old trouble between you and Gordy. And that's a weak motive. So far, App doesn't know she was there, or he would be searching high and low for her. Well, let's keep her under wraps while I start digging.
It's okay with me, Mr. Mason.
That means you have to stay in jail.
I don't care. I can take anything now.
Good. Now, I think we have a chance. Because if anyone saw Kate and recognized her, App would probably know it by now. Probably. So, you keep on just as you have. Say that you're innocent. That's all.
Meanwhile, in another part of the city, a young man named Jimmy Mitchell paces the floor in his rooming house. Jimmy Mitchell is a porter in Gordy Weber's apartment building. He's a hard worker and alert. Jimmy Mitchell couldn't sleep tonight. And now, instead of lighting another cigarette, he starts to leave his room. Stops, runs a comb through his hair, and then...
It's me, Jimmy. Open up.
Jimmy?
Open the door, Marion.
Oh, wait till I put on my robe. What is it?
Let me in.
No, don't, Jimmy. Mrs. Dean is real strict.
Cut it out, Marion.
But she is. Well, what is it?
I couldn't sleep. Neither could you.
Oh, Jimmy.
We gotta tell them, Marion.
No, please.
We got to, baby.
They arrested the man who killed Mr. Weber. I saw the cops take him when he went past the coffee shop.
I can't help it. We gotta tell him. And about the girl, too. Now, listen, Marion. You and me saw the red-headed girl go in Weber's place. Then the older guy. Then we saw the girl run out. And we gotta tell.
Oh, I don't want to, Jimmy. She was a nice kid. I know she was.
And I know she was in the place a guy got himself killed. We gotta tell, baby. You can't change it.
But why, Jimmy?
Because we'll be in trouble if it comes out we saw her. We don't know who else saw her and saw us looking at her. We got to tell him, and we ought to do it now.
Now? It's after 2 o'clock.
Then, all right, then, first thing in the morning, honey.
All right. You say we have to.
Well, you might remember Marion Conley and Jimmy Mitchell. Because those two nice young people are going to play crucial roles in the lives of Ed Beekman and Ed Beekman's daughter. By all means, hear tomorrow's important development.